Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
The very first one that was really strange. This is the one that I actually sent to NASA University. I started seeing this huge light behind the trees, you know, and it was so huge. And I thought at first it was a street light or something, but then I said, no, it's up too high. And so I started filming that. And that was the first one. And then I realized that it was moving. And the way I could tell it was moving is because I'm filming it and it's going across, I don't know how far these things are away, but it looks like it's going across the top of the tree branches there. It's moving. And then I started filming that thing around 2 o'clock in the morning, I think. I didn't finish until about 6 a.m. because it started changing. And I haven't put this one up. So I guess I'll include it in the next group of them that I do. It started stretching up and changing shape, and that was the first one that did that for me. And after that, I was just kind of hooked.
Wendy's Coffee House, KCMO Talk Radio, thank you for tuning in. This is going to be an interesting interview because this, as far as I know, is one of the first interviews that she's done, and it's Patricia Avant. This is a film, a documentary, and she says it's the first UFO documentary by an African-American. Patricia has an hour-long film of the things that she has been seeing that she calls UFOs, and that's what we would call them because you look in the sky and you see this little dot that kind of looks like a star but isn't a star, but it's moving around and stuff like that, or a UAP. And at this point, I haven't seen anything so detailed as what she has been able to film. And you're going to be able to see it too. The website, Black People Do See UFOs, and that's a dash or a hyphen, UFOs.com. All right, Patricia, this is really a coup. You have basically scooped everybody. I don't know if you know that, but it is so refreshing to see the images that you have taken. So first, thank you for paying attention.
Oh, thank you for having me, and thank you.
Okay. I guess we'll go back to the beginning because, you know, that's the first thing you say is that Black people do see UFOs. Has it been something that your friends don't talk about it, or it's, you know, just a different topic of conversation that doesn't come up? Why? Well, that's my first question.
I don't know why. You know, I know that that was the question to me. You know, you see all of these videos here and people getting abducted and people talking and speaking, and I'm thinking, well, you know, what is it? Are we just missing something? And I think what it is it's just an underground thing. I don't think a lot of us even believe in that.
Okay.
That those things exist. And that's one of the reasons once I started seeing this thing, again, they were on my computer for a whole year because I would put up one or I would maybe mention it to my sisters. And, you know, you get that sense of, oh, yeah, right.
Yeah.
So you just don't share it. But I thought somebody needs to see this. But there has been a long-standing joke in the African-American community that Black people do not see UFOs.
Okay. Well, I'm going back to...
I don't know where it came from, though.
Well, maybe because of the media. Okay, I'm going back to Betty and Barney Hill. Betty and Barney Hill, an interracial couple, okay? So there's one.
And believe me, on every that has been mentioned to me more than one time. Well, you're not the first one, Betty and Barney. And I'm not saying that there have probably absolutely been none, but it's something that I think we need to be aware of and explore and understand, you know, because people are talking about going to Mars in 3 years.
Right. There might be something out there.
That's right.
Okay. Well, okay. And the other thing, too, is just because Barney has the experience, that I can only name one person suggests that there might be an opening. And so that's why I just thought, okay, let's, we don't want to overlook someone who was part of a huge, huge UFO event.
No,
so
without a doubt.
Yeah. So, but I do want to say that, from what I have seen, I am familiar with a few other people who have taken images of things that look like sparks or look like even part of what you've got look like it would be a little fairy being or something like that. And that's what they're saying. And you've, I think, given it a different, in terms of labeling it, a different way to go, a different venue where the UFO people are able to see this instead of the fairy people and all that. And they can compare it. And I know right off the bat, Christopher Bledsoe, who's right now getting a lot of attention, some of his images are like that. And then there was a sighting in Hawaii just recently that had the blue, that electric blue color that matches some of the colors of your images. And so all of a sudden here in the last, 3 or 4 months, there are some similar types of images, not to the extent that you have. And that's what I really, really was so glad to see. You have so many unique pictures, and the one that has that blue is number 20 in your, and it's like at about halfway through 36 in your film. You remember that one?
That almost all of them have that blue. Just that you have to, if you take any one of those videos and play it back slow, or even I have a thing where I will take the entire video and dump it in this thing called Media Clear, and so I can see every frame. And if you do that, I mean, the colors are just unbelievable. It's almost like it's every color in the rainbow. Mm-hmm. But when if you run the film at the regular speed, you can only see so many of the colors. And sometimes I can catch one and use it as a thumbnail and let that happen. But almost all of them have this unbelievable number of colors rolling around them. Mm-hmm. I mean, just beautiful colors, But you're talking about that kind of a turquoisey blue.
Oh, yeah, it's beautiful. Yeah, yeah. It is those colors. They're a fluorescent, a phosphorescent. Yeah. They glow. They're just absolutely extraordinary.
They glow. And I tell you, the thing that the comment for every single one of them, and I don't know if you noticed, is that like a little ball, there are these balls on the end. Mm-hmm. And those are the things that I think when you look up there, at least when it's for me, and you see the glowing first thing, I think that's what that is. And it's mimicking a star or whatever it might be doing. And then if you're able to take your film and just tweak it just a little bit, then you start to see what's behind that little ball.
And that's what's so unique about it, though, is that this is a huge collection you have. So let's start at the beginning. Were you intuitive, telepathic as a child? Did you have any experiences that were unexplained or paranormal, unusual?
I just feel like as a child, I don't know, I had a lot of trauma in my life. I know now that I was out of my body a lot. I did not sense and understand it, of course, as a child. But later on in life, I had an out-of-body experience that I was totally aware of. And I realized now that is what was happening then. I was having a lot of out-of-body experiences. And I was having just always very, very interested in the sky, the moon, the sun. Those things just always interest me. I just never had any way to find out about them. I never had any way to understand any place to go as a child to get an understanding of that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I did. I've always been just very, very interested in that. And I can always remember having this thought laying down, and this is probably pretty common, where I would try to imagine beyond the darkness of the sky, and I would always end up with a terrible headache, but trying to understand what was behind that darkness, and I would try to see it in my mind, and of course you couldn't.
Okay, but the headache says you were really giving it the old college try.
Oh, and I'm telling you, I would. If they would lay there, I was alone a lot, so I had a lot of time.
You were determined.
Yes.
Okay, well, that's it. You know, that's that curiosity. And that seeking, that desire, and I don't know if that might have played a part in the things that are happening now. Is it because you were already open? You were already available, and this is what you're able to see because you've opened up that black sky.
Wendy's Coffee House talking with filmmaker Patricia Avant about her film, Black People Do See UFOs. How did you get started?
Well, I started having experiences that didn't have anything to do with this. I'll say maybe around 2007, 8, as an adult, I started having these other different kinds of experiences. I've always tried to meditate and always tried to do those things, and that never worked for me. And I've never really told anybody this except my sister once, but sometimes, you know, like if you're writing or if you're doing different things, you kind of zone. You can get into a zone.
Right.
And I was starting to have this, I don't know what this is. I guess a flow of energy is something that seemed to be rattling around somewhere around in my eye. And I couldn't feel it, but it would always have me brushing away my face. It was like something was on my face.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually one day I ended up purchasing a new pair of glasses, and the iris glass part was larger than normal. And I'm working one day, and I literally saw this stream of, I guess, just energy. I could see it reflecting in the glass.
Ah.
Yeah. And so that, and then other experiences, I had an experience one night. I was laying in the bed. I had been trying to have a third eye experience, and then I actually had one, and there was this voice on the outside of me said, hurry. And I didn't wake up fully, but I woke up enough to have this experience.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I just was moving towards that.
Yeah.
You know, with different little things happening here that I didn't attribute to anything in particular. They were just things that were happening to me. And they didn't scare me, so mm-hmm. I didn't worry about them, you know.
Okay, I like that string. Okay, so until you had those glasses and you happened to be in the right position to see the reflection of their eyeglasses, you know, showing back behind or beside. That's brilliant. That's that really was a way to make it material or make it, you know, physical, that this is real, this is happening, this is whatever this is, it is something that you can actually visualize. I think that was a huge breakthrough, I think, in terms of giving you confidence.
Well, without a doubt, I literally took a camera one night, got up under all these covers, turned out all the lights. So I actually filmed that.
You did?
I actually filmed it. And I thought it was going to be this huge, bright light rolling out, but it's like some tiny, it started out as a tiny white light,
mm-hmm.
and then it just rolls out, rolls away. You can't feel it, but you know it's there. You know, I used to try to brush it away.
Mm-hmm.
I actually filmed it.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to see, you know, you have these experiences, and I feel like Lisette, you know, you think, am I going nuts?
Yes.
What the heck?
Yes. Before we started talking here, Patricia was talking and said she listened to this interview with Lisette Larkins, and Lisette talks about how to connect with ETs and all this, and everybody's experience is unique. When you're talking about that string, I remember sitting on the couch watching television and seeing out of the periphery this kind of a feather-like a string, and I happened to go to the bookstore with my husband, and he was interested in Carlos Castaneda, and so I opened a book to give him, and I opened it to a page that describes this candle-like being that exists that we don't always see. All of a sudden, I had something to give me a frame of reference because I knew I saw something. You know, you have yours and you got an image of it. And that's how we are able to compare notes. And that's the thing about what you've got here on your documentary. This is something that gives people a visual so that they can basically try and expand their view to see more of what's out there. Does that make sense?
Oh, what out about, you know, I think about this video, this documentary I watched some time ago. It's called What the Bleep Do We Know?
Yeah.
And
yes.
There's a part in that video where they show some Native Indians, and the shaman is trying to explain to one of the Indians standing next to him that the ships are coming. And the shaman can see it because he's had the vision of it and he knows what the ships look like. But having no word or having never seen a ship, the other Indian is standing there and he's looking all around and he's like, what? What are you? Until the shaman hits his third eye and then he sees it.
Mm-hmm.
And now, of course, he would never be able to unsee a ship. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah,
make it go away.
That's right. You know, so I was telling someone on Twitter, they were saying, you should do this and you should do that. I said, you know, I'm not trying to convince anybody of anything. And so if you just take your camera yourself and look up at the sky and start filming and take the time to do a few of the things, you'll see it's there. And then you will not be able to not see them. You know, they'll be everywhere all of a sudden.
Well, and that's what the funny thing is about this, you know, in just naming three other people who've had this blue type of image that they're able to photograph. I've got a blog, Wendy's Coffee House Blogspot, and I will post the links and images there so we can all be on the same page with this. But that's what is so unique, is that all of a sudden people are able to compare notes. People are able to say and go on social media and say, hey, look at this. It's like you say, you can't unsee it. Well, that's the cool thing. Sometimes people are happy just seeing the wheel spinning or the blinking light. And what you went beyond that, because with your images, with your camera, and I want to ask you about that. What was it like for the first time when this really hit home that you're seeing something? What was that experience?
Well, it was 2016, hot day, night. About 1 o'clock in the morning, I'm watching television. I got every window, every curtain open because my fan is just blowing hot air and trying to get a breeze. And I look out the corner of my eye and I see this orange sphere, not really huge, no sound. And it's between a building and a vacant space that was across from my house. And I didn't think anything about it. I went back to watching television. And then I looked again and I thought it was the same one still there. A short story of it is when I look the third time, I said, well, what is this? And I get up and I go and I look directly ahead, and of course, nothing is there. But I look to my left, and it's four of them hanging there in perfect formation. If I would reach my arm out from where I was standing, it would be like I was grabbing a basketball. Of course, they were bigger than that, but, you know, the distance-wise. And so I called my son, and he comes and he's looking at, and we're mesmerized because we're really seeing this and we don't know what we're seeing. And he says, well, you know, and it's not making any sound, no sound. And he goes, maybe it's a helicopter. I said, well, no, I don't think it's a helicopter, just anything but a UFO or a UAP. We were not ready for that. And
okay, don't go there.
Yeah, it's probably four drones. They're just silent drones. We don't know, you know, anything. So finally, some people came around the corner. They were kind of drunk. And one lady out of the five people she was with turns around and goes, what the F is that? And then they all stumble in the car and drive off. And that was like our cue to move. Because I think at that point we thought, okay, when we see that, if something is seeing us, if we start moving, they might blow us off the porch. You know, just crazy stuff.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
And
like,
so my son goes away and back to the room, and about, I sit on the couch, and maybe 15 minutes later, he says, no, they're back here. So go back there, and now they're really high up in the sky, and it's five. It's one that's a little larger, three in the center, and one to the right of the three. They each move up, disappear, move up, disappear, move up, disappear. The one on the other side came in line, moved up, disappeared. Then they all disappeared. That was 2016, like June to July. And he bought me a camera that December because I liked the moon. And he got this camera because I had seen people on YouTube with these cameras where they were zooming in really close to different things.
Mm-hmm.
So I filmed the moon for about, I don't know, 3 months. Got bored with that because the moon doesn't change a lot.
Yes, kind of the moon. I know, I've done that too. I like,
and, you know, you start seeing things and that aren't there, right?
Well, that too, and you start going, okay, here's the super moon, and it looks just like the blue moon. Okay, when you're trying to tell people, I got the moon, it's like, they're not impressed.
No, you know, it's just like, what? You know, I think I saw this one thing, I was moving, and oh my God, and it turned out to be a bug on the inside of my
darn it.
Glass, yeah. You know. But the one night I just decided, I wonder if I could actually video or get a star.
And what you get is a whole lot better than a star. We got to take a quick break. My guest, Patricia Avant. The documentary is Black People Do See UFOs. Wendy's Coffee House. Okay, you said that you started to take pictures of the moon because you got the camera, but you got bored with the moon, and then you decided maybe you would try and take pictures of a star. So here we are.
And I couldn't, and then one night I could. It was close enough, or I don't know what the difference was, but one night here was one right in my view, but it was all fuzzy. It wasn't like the first ones I did were really fuzzy and funny looking. And then one night I got a hold of one, and it was just unbelievable. It was every color you could think of, but it was just round. It wasn't like the ones I got later.
Yeah.
But it was all these colors. And then the very first one I got that was really strange. This is the one that I actually sent to NASA University.
Mm-hmm.
It was, I started seeing this huge light behind the trees, you know, and it was so huge. And I thought at first it was a street light or something, but then I said, no, it's up too high.
Yeah.
And so I started filming that. And that was the first one. And then I realized that it was moving. And the way I could tell it was moving is because I'm filming it and it's going across, I don't know how far these things are away, but it looks like it's going across the top of the tree branches there.
Okay.
And it's moving. And then I started filming that thing around 2 o'clock in the morning, I think. I didn't finish until about 6 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
Because it started changing. And I hadn't put this one up. You know, I don't know why I didn't include that one, but I guess I'll include it in the next group of them that I do.
Yeah.
It started stretching up and changing shapes, and that was the first one that did that for me. And after that, I was just kind of hooked. You know?
Yeah, I can see why.
So if there was a star somewhere, I was going to try to get it. And where I got the most of them in 2017, it was just weird. It was like there would be a space where it was only one or two stars one night. The next night it would be 10. And I couldn't film them fast enough.
Wow.
You know, and so I don't know what occurred. I don't know why it went from the little ball where, and I guess these are all different. Maybe some of them are actually stars, and then maybe these other things are just something else. They look like stars, and those little balls on the end of them mimic stars, but they aren't.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Once you see these on your documentary, once you see the way that they move and the little lights around them, this isn't a star. And that's wonderful about it, because it really gives you an idea that what starts out as possibly a star or a wheel that has this rotation to it, all of a sudden when you get that finer photography, then you realize, oh, this is actually some kind of a shape, a specific form. And it just brings a whole new element to it. Okay, so that's what so at first, when you're seeing this with your son, you guys don't even want to say the word UFO. So, And right now you're still calling them stars. You're saying, well, there's all these stars. Okay. So what do you call them now?
I just call them a mystery. I don't know what they are, you know, and interestingly enough, just before I decided to do the documentary, I stumbled upon an article where these scientists are starting to talk about these things, that they're there, they don't know what they are, and they had at first thought they were some kind of low-lying nebula, but they're saying that they don't think that that's possible. So I realized that whatever they are, they've been around. And I, you know, I was like not aware that the Tic Tac, mm-hmm. that had been 13 years, I think I read, before they actually showed us the picture.
Yeah. And so I don't know. That's a while.
A long time. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I'm saying that to say that I know there's no way on this planet that I'm the only being that has seen these things. And I mean that to say that the scientists and all these people with these huge telescopes but they have not, for whatever reason, they would have waited another 13 years if everybody didn't have these kind of, because there's a lot of people on YouTube with the multicolored ball thing going. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people have seen that. So I'm wondering if they start thinking, okay, everybody's got these cameras. Soon enough, somebody's going to do what Patricia did.
Right.
And we're going to be looking like idiots. Because I can't imagine. There's just no way for me to imagine. There's a section of the documentary where I say these things.
Which one is that?
Those are the things that look like green ribbon candy.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
I have never seen those with my eye.
Okay.
I only saw those when I slowed the film down. That's
okay.
How fast they are moving. And I'm beginning to think the common thing with those was that in each one of those, the long version. But the other thing, too, is I've only put a clip, you know, because some of the videos are too long. I'm trying to figure out a way to eventually show an entire video. But in a lot of them, there's a red light and a white light that's blinking.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like they're directing mm-hmm. these things. I did not see that with my naked eye. And believe me, the first time I slowed it down and I could just see the red thing blinking and going off and on. And then all of a sudden, this thing shot by, scared me to death.
Yeah. Whoa. What I have seen with some of the images that were taken at the Bradshaw Ranch, I believe that's in Sedona, and where they've had all sorts of stuff. They've had a lot of paranormal stuff, unexplained phenomena going on there, kind of like Skinwalker Ranch in Utah. All right, some of the images they have are just this like a white flash, and it would be a white, like a ribbon, that, you know, a ribbon of white that goes across the picture, or a ribbon of blue, or, you know, just all of a sudden it's there, but nobody sees it until it's on film, and then they realize that there was something there. And so that's what I was going to ask you, too, on these other things. When you do see them, have you had a prompt or a sense that you're going to see something or something's going to happen?
I think I had a prompt every night from the first time I saw one until I stopped at the end of 17. I mean, there was not a night that I was not on my back somewhere or laying or my camera was somewhere where I was filming. It was as if I
called.
Yeah, you know, they were there to be seen by somebody who was ready to see them.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yes, yes, it sure does.
And I could not stop them until I was getting very little sleep. I still get very little sleep because I haven't filmed much. I didn't film in 2018 because we moved, and where I was in 2017, I was up. I had the two balconies. I had full access to the sky. It was just, very clear access to the sky.
Uh-huh.
So over here, I'm on the first floor. I don't have as much access except for the moon and whatever the heck that is that hangs from it from time to time. You know.
You put that in the film, too. You said, so is this hanging from the moon?
Because I couldn't tell if it was hanging there or if it was, what the heck? And that's the third time I saw that. But the first two times I saw it, I've got so many videos, I've got to find that one. It was behind the tree of where we live, but it was by itself. It was just this red thing, and it never took the shape of the star or anything like that. It was just as it was, you know, but it was behind the tree.
Mm-hmm.
But I still got a good picture of it. So I then later, like when I zoomed in on this one in 2019, I realized that it was either the same thing or there's more than one of them.
Yeah.
But it was just the same shape and the same detail about it. But yeah, I still have felt, I felt pressed. to do something with them.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's so funny, the idea of a documentary. I don't know anything about making a documentary. You know, I'm not a filmmaker, but yeah. Once I did, it started, it just, like it happened itself. So I figured, okay, then I did the right thing.
All right. We have to take a break. We're going to come back again. Patricia Avant, the filmmaker. It's called Black People Do See UFOs. Wendy's Coffee House. They are not your typical nuts and bolts UFO.
UAP actually defines it much better. And they're everywhere. They look like stars, but they are not. And they do that bouncing thing when they just before they start to really change shape. They do that really frantic kind of a bouncing thing. And I'll tell you where you can really see what's there is when you take that video and put it, watch it frame by frame. Without all the fuzz, without the light, if there is an actual something there that is really definable as, I don't know, a shape, a ship, or whatever,
mm-hmm.
you can see it more defined. So in other words, there's something hiding in these things. You know,
right.
There is something inside of each one of these objects.
They changed the name from UFO to UAP. Okay, that implies that someone somewhere knows that there is a better name for what we don't know.
That's right. Switching that from UFO to UAP, totally severing it from UFOs and monsters in the movies and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that was disclosure. That changed everything. And I love the way Hillary just nonchalantly at our convention, oh, yeah, you know, it's not UFOs anymore. It's now UAPs. Well, nobody had told us.
Yeah. Oh, whoops.
Yeah. You know, so that was a big deal to me for them to do that. But a lot of people didn't seem to think it was a big deal.
The language about this has always been a bit vague. There were people who were discredited when they actually saw something legit. And not only that, there were anomalies that didn't fit the regular thing. Like the pictures that you have showing light formations that you have that are UAPs in your UFO documentary.
These things to me, why I think they definitely fit the definition of a UAP, which is, how do they define it here? The definition that it's a solid physical phenomenon that appears to be under intelligent control and is capable of speed, maneuverability, and luminosity.
Yeah.
Beyond human current known technology. There's just no doubt. Some of these things, like the red thing that's hanging from the moon, it almost seemed as if it was doing whatever it was doing. And I don't know if I was the only one filming it or what, but it noticed something was not up to par. It was not, and it's almost like it started moving toward me to see whatever it was that was flashing lights towards it, which was me.
Yeah.
And eventually it started spinning around in such a way. I when I first watched it, before I slowed it down to watch it, I thought the darn thing had exploded. It moved so fast. When I slowed the film down, I realized it shot to the left, and then it shot so far and so quick to the right. There's no way you would see it if you didn't slow the video down. Something was moving that thing around, guiding it, driving it, or whatever. It was not just hanging around whistling Dick. And then it got the heck out of Dodge.
Yeah, I see. It just goes zoop right off the screen.
It just zipped away so fast. And I really literally, I thought it had exploded. I said, well, what the heck? You know, but then I was slowing down to a turtle's.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Because I want to see every move. There's one in the beginning of the documentary where it's a white line, a double white line, and a kind of a thin grayish outline around that. And I tweaked the contrast just a little bit. And I was surprised to see that huge outline back there. And so in saying that, to say some of them, even as clearly as I could get them, there's probably much more behind them. I'm only able to change so much on them before it will just turn into a bunch of pixels. But I don't think for one second that there's nobody else that has seen this. It's just not possible to me.
They told you, NASA told you, don't break your camera. Not everybody, mm-hmm. even though they have the camera, can get these pictures. And so it's like when you felt like you were driven or you were, you know, you had to go out, there was a pressure. Okay. And that's because you were engaged. And when you said you didn't understand why it started one night, it wasn't there. And the next night it was just there. I think that's when you and your camera synced up and they do want to be seen.
I feel that way too. Like, you know, like I said, I think I mentioned that in the documentary, there was a point. The only one that scared me was the one that looked like the face.
Yeah.
But there was a point one night where this is one of those nights where there were just at least eight of them out there where they had not been eight at one at any other time. And I was filming away. I couldn't do this one, and then I would do that one. And that night, I felt like I was being watched as well.
Yeah.
And that was one of the only times that I felt that firmly, you know. And that did scare me. I won't lie about that. That kind of scared me. And so I do feel I feel more like they're entities
mm-hmm.
than just machines of some sort. I feel like they definitely wanted to be filmed, or they were there because they wanted to be there.
Yeah.
And the more I did, the more, and I felt like that when I couldn't film the 2018 mood, I got depressed a little bit. And then I looked out the window here sometime maybe in 2020, and there was the big one again.
Yes.
And it was like I hadn't seen it in so long. It was like a friend. You know, and I couldn't get a real lock on it, but it was there. I don't know. You know, it's been very interesting is all I can say. And I'm really glad to share it. I'm glad to get it off my chest. I really am, you know, and glad to speak with people that I don't think or think I'm nuts.
Oh, no. Some of us, to get a better view, we have to have corroboration from others to encourage us to say, yes, this is, keep doing it, don't stop. And that's why they said, don't break your camera. It was we don't know what you're doing, and we don't want to say that, but we want to say, you know, you're not done, and I'm going to say you're not done. So keep doing it, because as you do this, you'll continue to see more. But that's part of it. Just jumping that first hurdle of, am I the only one who's able to do this? And once you get past that, it's like, well, if I am and I'm seeing something, maybe I should keep doing it so that other people can see what I see.
I hadn't looked at it that way, but I do now. Originally, I didn't. I would go back and it was like a movie. You know, you go get the popcorn. I'd pull out all the videos and look at them and go, What is that?
I know. It is. It's your own personal, like, whoa, this is a joyride. This is so cool. I don't need anybody to ruin it for me. Okay?
That's right. You know, I think I was thinking that. I don't want to put anything out and be flooded with, oh, this is that and this is the other. And then I mm-hmm. didn't care.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's true what you say, that the more we put them out there and the more people see it, and then less people will be afraid, and then we'll probably get some answers, you know.
People who are interested, they sign up on your website and you'll give them an email when you've got the next documentary ready?
Yes. This one came together so quickly, but I think it still exhausted me.
you got plenty of time. You got plenty of stuff. Now, is there anything else you want to add?
No, I just, again, I'm so happy and thank you for taking the time to watch it and then to talk with me about it. It's a wonderful thing to be able to talk with other people about this kind of stuff, because it just really is, and I appreciate it so very much.
And thank you. It really is cool to see these things. The first UFO documentary by an African-American, Patricia Avant, blackpeopledosee-ufos.com. Thanks for listening. Wendy's Coffee House, KCMO Talk Radio.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend, because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love, with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.